I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Jason Troy. Jason is a top business coach, speaker, and author. He is a leading expert on social engineering, influence, persuasion, and networking. At the heart of Jason's strategy is the understanding that people and your relationships are your true wealth. Everything we accomplish in life is with or through other people. Jason works with experts, entrepreneurs, and executives to help them get known and stand out by building key skill sets, creating their brand platform and purpose, and improving their business results. Jason is the author of the best-selling book, Social Wealth, the How-To Guide on Building Personal and Professional Relationships, which has sold more than 30,000 copies and has been number one in four business and self-help categories. Jason is a frequent contributor to publications such as Brazen Careerist, Thought Catalog, Under 30 CEO, Killer Startups, and many others. Jason, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you on.
Well, thanks, David. I really appreciate being on and speaking with you and your tribe.
Thank you. I wondered if we could start off by you telling a little bit about your personal story, your background, and how you ended up doing what you're doing now.
Sure. So it's a varied background. So I was in law school, and I was interviewing in my second year to find an internship. And I was told to ask a question at the end that was a softball question. And at that time, I thought it was, and apparently it really wasn't. It was, are you happy? And I found out that all my interviews for my internship, that people really weren't happy because their answers were not truthful, and I could tell. And so that really started to scare me about what I really wanted to do moving forward in my life. And so technology had been a passion of mine. So I went out to San Francisco in Silicon Valley during the gold rush, and I got to work in some amazing pieces of business at Yahoo at its height, got to work at Apple when Steve Jobs came back, and all these different fabulous places. And so that was an amazing part of my career. But one of the challenges I found was, and I was working directly with people doing road shows, product launches, with media, with bloggers, with other people, I'd be really excited and motivated. But the more advanced I got in my career and successful, the more time I'd have to work by myself doing things. And I started to get really bored. And my success then started to get a little up and down and choppy at times because of those things. And I started to take a real inward look and saying, well, why is this starting to happen? And it took a while for me to actually figure this out. And I did some coaching and some things, and it just didn't get at the heart of why I was really there. And then I started to really take a look at my emotional states and really started to understand what those are, and realizing that emotions are what drives us and why we do everything that we do. And I figured out that my emotions were really belonging and connecting, and those were my top two emotions. And when those needs were not getting met, everything else in my life was not near as full as it could be. So then I started to dabble in some coaching, and I knew someone in LA, and I just started doing something on the side with my full-time job. And, you know, I did that for a couple years, and then just some events happened and decided to take the plunge full-time into doing this, as well as, you know, writing my book Social Wealth simultaneously, and then, you know, the rest is history.
Interesting. Interesting. So you basically started this on the side.
Yes. It was all on the side. I mean, because I had a concept. Initially, well, what happened on the side was, on top of this, is I had two of my friends here in Dallas have two of their other friends want to move to other larger cities. And they were introverted, engineering type of people that had to restart their entire life. And they were very nervous about it because they just had never done this before. And neither of them knew each other, and I just helped them because they asked for the help. And the two people that were moving, you know, within a few months had better lives than they had beforehand in their other cities. And so at that point, I was like, well, I must have some knowledge here that's working in somehow or a form or another, because it couldn't have happened twice for no reason at all. So I decided, okay, well, maybe I might dabble in this and see if this might actually be something. And I just really just tried it out. And I really had no idea. And then I sat down on my computer and I basically wrote out some PowerPoint slides and some text and then sent it to someone else who had a business already and was like, well, hey, I think there's something here. And, you know, do you want to go pursue this or work together on this? And then that kind of happened from there.
Uh-huh. So, what was that initial nugget or the initial framework that led you to think that you were catching on to something that people needed?
Well, one of the things that I knew was I moved to Dallas and I didn't know anyone but my mom at all. So that really didn't help. And I had to restart my entire life here. And I started to go out and meet people and, you know, it was okay. And then all of a sudden, everything started to take off and really sort of explode in my life. And I realized at that point that I figured out something. And part of it was I had a realization I was out and people were starting to introduce me to their friends as Jason's one of the greatest guys I've met. Jason's awesome. You should meet him. Jason's the mayor of Dallas and all these things. And I knew these people probably for a total of less than like 30 minutes. And so I started to know that a lot of the social things that I was doing and relationships I was building was way different than what other people were doing. And I was doing exponentially faster and building it way deeper than people who knew people for years. And I was able to be in someone's inner circle of people within minutes where it took people years. And so I figured out that that was part of the secret. And so I just had to figure out how I could break it down and teach it to other people.
Interesting. Now, is this a trait that you've always had?
You know, I've always been pretty extroverted person, but also there's introverted part of me as well. So I'm not, I would say, a complete true extrovert in every side of it because I love to read, I love to write and do other things. But it's something that I've always been, my batteries get recharged when I am out and about and with people. So that's part of who I am. So I've learned this more and more over the years, and it was easier when I was in school. I could keep meeting people because there was basically a feeder system for me. So a lot of this, you know, because you're there standing around
right.
people. It's easy to do it. You don't think about it. I mean, I think one of the biggest problems for people is they don't realize that, you know, once you leave the educational system, like the feeder system for people are really limited. And then people lean on work, which sometimes can be a real challenge because then it's hard to separate, you know, your work and everything else. So,
right, particularly since some organizations are very siloed and you end up actually just seeing a few people over and over and over again.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, all that stuff started to happen in my life and just continue to do that. So it's just, you know, part of naturally who I am. And I love to connect other people and help them. And so that was also part of it. I mean, I went to a Jesuit prep high school growing up, and our motto in our school was be a man for others. And I learned that the most important thing that I could do was be helping other people. And that was going to be the mark of my life, whether I was able to do that or not, and in what capacity.
So is there something that you can share about the traits that you have that enable you to develop fairly deep relationships with new people fairly quickly?
Well, one thing is I try to think about what do people do that are in other people's inner circle. And I try in my head to think about how can I do more of those things that I'm currently doing. And so one easy thing to do is actually just listen. It's amazing how many times when I go out and I just watch people, because sometimes I do just to see what people are doing. How many people are completely distracted? They're not even giving any eye contact. They're not engaged with the person in front of them. They're not being an active listener. I see this happening all the time. And the reality is, if you break it down, is, you know, like physics, you can only be in one place at one time. You can't be in two places. So when you start to look around and get distracted and you're not present and you're thinking about what you have to do tomorrow, you're signaling to the other person you just don't care. And that's the easiest way to get someone turned off. You know, the next thing is you've got to tap into someone's emotions because, again, that's what matters. And you've got to get to what matters to them. So instead of asking the interview type questions people do, and this is whether it's personally or professionally, you know, I tell my clients to ask one easy question which is, what are you passionate about? What projects are you working on that you're passionate about right now? Because that gets into the core of what really matters to someone. And then you can ask them questions on top of that about what challenges are you having with those passions, and or you'll figure them out because the person will tell you. And then you can offer to try to help them. You can help them maybe even suggesting a book, a resource, a contact, really anything. Because if you do that before you ask for anything else, you're making a deposit in the relationship bank account. And the only people that do that are people in someone's inner circle. Those people don't keep a scorecard with someone else. And so people, then they automatically think about you in that place unconsciously, even if you don't even know that person at all, because you've shown them that they're a giver. And that helps you even more when you're dealing with more influential people, because they're used to people taking even more. So in those states, it's important to give even more to other people than you would normally do, because they're used to having the opposite start to happen. So, you know, those are probably a couple things that you can do pretty easily. The other thing that I do that is the most powerful social tool that you can use possible is introducing people to other people. And I do this all the time, and I even introduce strangers to strangers. And it doesn't really matter, because people want to meet other people so desperately that how you do it, or if it comes off good, or if it doesn't, no one cares. They're just interested in meeting someone else. And it's enabled me to build a lot of relationships, because when you introduce someone to someone else, you are the hub and the other two people are the spokes. So you are an extremely powerful and influential place because you're the person doing it. And again, no one introduces people to other people in general out there unless they know both people or it's someone that you know really well doing it. So when you start extending yourself and doing things like I've just mentioned, really quickly, you can gain a lot of influence with other people and build relationships way quicker.
How do you know who to introduce to whom?
A lot of times you just don't. I mean, it doesn't, I find a lot of times, yes, it's helpful if you know background of both people and you can do that. And obviously, if you look on LinkedIn or you think about who might be good and proactively do that, I mean, that's a fantastic thing and people should be doing that. But when you're out and about, you just don't. But you try to find common ground with people by talking, you know, asking questions. So what's on your agenda for this week? What are you doing? Because if you ask someone that question, they might say some things that'll spur some conversation with someone else, or why are you at this event, or and then they'll start talking, and often people will just start asking each other questions because they want to meet someone new and they'll start to find some common ground. So you can often find a little bit, and you know, the secret to building a relationship with people is rapport, likability, and trust, and those are the three factors. And for rapport, you need to find some common ground. You don't need to find much, you just need to find one thread that can link someone together. And then people will start to take off. And so as someone doing this, I just look for any possible thing I can to talk about and find some thread to find something in common. And then they'll start talking about things and find something else. And I've introduced people that are married, business partners, ran marathons. Someone else I knew is traveling across the world with this person. And like, it's just crazy things happen all the time because people are people and they want social connection. I mean, you know, that's why we're here.
The other thing I think I'm hearing from you is when you first encounter somebody, ask questions about why before you ask questions about what.
Exactly. Use open-ended questions because that will engage people and get them talking about what's going on. And so I think it's really important just to be understanding that. And also, just like you said, the why, because you need to understand why people tick, because typically that understanding comes later in a relationship. But a lot of the questions before that are just wasting time. Let's just get to the meat of the heart of the matter, right? And so, and the other thing I would say to people is one of the things that really has helped me over the years is the more authentic, vulnerable in speaking my truth and living my truth that I've done, the better I've been able to build a relationship too, because now I just say what I want, say what I need, and say what's going on. And I don't worry about whether people are judging it, what people are thinking about it. I just say what I need to say, and it's way easier because now I can get to know people for who they are and start to understand, is this person someone who would be really good for me to know? What, is it an acquaintance? Is it personal? Is it professional? You can start sorting this out a lot easier in life the more that you know yourself and you start telling people what you need and why you need it.
Fascinating. Jason, you mentioned influencers in a couple of contexts already. I wondered if you could describe the characteristics of someone you would describe as an influencer.
You know, it's been fascinating for me to understand this process because when I was writing my book, I went out and I wanted to talk to, and I talked to a couple hundred successful entrepreneurs because I really wanted to understand how people were being successful in their lives in terms of relationships, because I wanted to find out what factor that played in it. And I got to have a lot of conversations with some really well-known people about that, about what makes them tick, how to face fear, how to go through obstacles, how to be successful, and how to think through a lot of this stuff. And I think some of the characteristics of people that are really successful are, one, is that they fail at an incredible rate. I was talking to entrepreneurs and I asked them this question: out of 10 things you do, how many do you fail at? And I was surprised at the time at the answer that I was getting consistently, which was always between about 5 to 7 things. What was interesting is they said afterwards that they didn't look at that as failure, though. They looked at it as a roadmap where they had to zig or zag or change directions. And failure was only something when they stopped. So they realized there was never going to be successful the first time out of the chute doing something, or rarely. They would have to tweak it and move it around. And so that was something I found. I found people there also used fear as fuel. Like, they saw something that scared them, and instead of running away from it, they actually just used it to propel them forward and realized that it was a compass, and that the closer that they went to it, they'd actually break through to the next part of it. I also realized that they were really passionate about what they did. It was something that they loved because it was a part of their emotional state. It was a part of their core. They did something that they loved, but they got there by just trying something. They didn't figure it out in their head. They just went out and tested it and tried it. And then they figured out what they wanted to do next. And they just got very competent in a lot of things. And they threw all in. Because a lot of people get paralyzed by what to do next, by thinking they have to have it all planned out, doing all this research. And yes, you do. But ultimately, you just have to take a leap of faith. And you have to dive all in from that. And then I found out that relationships were the secret. The people who had mentors, coaches, and other people helping them had success way faster. And the success was much deeper and greater over time for people that may have had success happen down the road. And all those relationships with people are what led to massive breakthroughs for people. So you need to invest in yourself by hiring people and paying for them. You need to find people who are going to help you mentoring. And then you need to find a lot of people that are raving fans, followers, and other people, because those are an important part of the process. And then learn to build relationships with other people, especially busy people, and figure out how to do that, because you need to get in people's radar screens and start now, because a lot of these relationships are going to take a long time just because they're busy people, and you've got to find sometimes interesting ways to get to them. Sometimes do it in a roundabout way. Sometimes you just have to just wait for the moments. But if you have to be intentional and purposeful about it and track these relationships and manage them very carefully, otherwise they just won't happen.
So I wonder if you would mind sharing an example of how you might have started to build a relationship with somebody who is an influencer and is really busy.
Well, you know, I found there's a lot of them, but one of them is one of my, you know, influencers and mentors. His name's Rick Duris. He's got a website called Copy Ranger, and he's an amazing, like, copywriter, business strategist. I mean, he just gets in the minds of people. And I realized that I needed to find someone to help me copywrite and think through what I was doing. And I started to reach out to some of the smartest people, and I limited resources, and a lot of these people are really, really, really expensive. And I just started to tell people my truth and why I wanted to do this. And I laid it out and was pretty naked in my email about what I needed to do and, you know, where I was in my, you know, career with my new business. And I just randomly found someone that was a really good friend of Rick's, And I talked to this guy on the phone, and he was like, I can tell who you are. I can tell that you're passionate about giving and helping people, and I don't run across people like you very rarely in my life, and I'm not the right guy for this, but I have someone that is. And then I ended up meeting, you know, talking with Rick, and we had a great conversation, and the relationship turned into like a mentoring relationship, more so in many ways than it did even a coaching relationship. And so I'm extremely grateful for that. But it took a lot of work and time. I had to do a lot of research, put myself out there, and test this out, because I had no idea. I mean, to find someone of his stature to help me, I could never have afforded to pay him the going rate that he was charging. And like, to think about it, I just decided, all right, well, let's just go to the top. I mean, I could have found other people, but I was like, I want to go to the best people I can and test it out. Now, that is not always going to work. But, you know, if you don't shoot for the stars, you know, you'll get to the moon sometimes. But if you don't, you know, if you don't ask, the answer is always no.
Jason, what have been some of your unexpected successes in your journey?
You know, I'd say one thing is I never really expected to have my book do near as well as it did. I mean, I spent a lot of time writing it, researching, preparing it, but I never thought that it would be doing this well. And people would love it as much as they do. And that to me was a pretty big, I'd say, unexpected success along the way. You know, I'd say every day I have unexpected successes because I'm working with clients and my expectations, I don't really put them out there. I'm confident and I'm very confident in what I do. But every time when I'm in an engagement with someone and I have a breakthrough with the client, like one of my clients' childhood heroes was Richard Branson. And so he went to the TED conference back in March, and I was like, we're going to find a way to meet Richard Branson. And at that time, I had no idea how we'd ever meet him. I mean, that's not that easy to do. And I wanted to find a person who knew him well to introduce my client, because that would be the strongest, most powerful way that that could ever happen. And so at the TED conference, I was like, well, start to ask people the question, who's your childhood hero? And I just said, just try it, and let's see what leads to. Well, he ended up meeting a good friend of Richard Branson's, and in 2 weeks, I think, from now, they're meeting in Wyoming. And the person who's the good friend of Richard Branson and my client have spoken quite a few times, and they're building great relationships. So it's going to be a powerful meeting for my client, and something pretty fantastic. I had another client of mine, which an unexpected success was, she grew up in an alcoholic family, and her mother was an alcoholic, and her family was very poor growing up. So her mom used to hide bills in the drawers and so put them in there and just hide. And she had never told this story to anyone other than her husband, and obviously there were family members that knew. And she'd been keeping this inside, and I knew that that was holding back from her business success. I mean, business was doing very well, but she needed to take the next step forward. She was in a conference a couple months ago, and I said, you need to go on stage, and when you're given this presentation, I want you to tell this story. And she was very scared and told the story, and just it was amazing, the outpouring from people telling her stories and back and forth. And she texted me this message, and she was like, I'm so excited. I feel like this 50-pound weight is off my chest, and I was amazed to see how many other people were just like me with their stories of their life. And she was so excited in doing it. So, you know, those were a couple ones, but most of my unexpected successes now come from my clients, because that's what gets me excited, is seeing people have breakthroughs, seeing people get excited about what they're doing, being passionate about it, and also being successful, right? I mean, one of my other clients the other day was really unsuccessful at going to conferences, and he's a search consultant headhunter, and he closed $100,000 in business in less than 24 hours. And he hadn't done that before. And so to me, that's exciting, because that's a financial thing, and that will enable him to do some other things. So things like that are what get me excited about getting up every day, is helping people in whatever challenge that they have in their business.
It sounds good. Jason, how do you think business might be different today than perhaps a decade or two ago?
I think today people's relationship building skills are worse than they've ever been, because people just interact with people less and they rely on social media to do the work. Now, I think there's a lot of things you can do online But you need to build up your social communication and emotional skill sets, and those are all learned behaviors. But people believe that they're something you're born with, and that's a problem, because the people who have these skill sets are the people that are going to be massively more successful. And those skill sets are, you have to practice them. They're just like going to the gym. If you go to the gym once a month, you're not going to get in shape. Well, if you don't talk to enough people, you're not going to build up these skill sets, and you're not going to know what to do. And a lot of times what happens is that in the beginning, you have to be very focused on how to talk to people. You have to have a plan. And so there needs to be a lot of structure. So my clients have a lot of structure in the conversations. It may not appear like that, but it does. But having that structure gives them more confidence going into the situation, because they know what they're going to do. And then they create habits around this. So the structure becomes things that they don't think about anymore, which then allows a lot more spontaneous interaction and for them to ask better questions, be engaged more, and do all the things to create influence, persuasion, and build the relationship building process. And so I think those things are not really here today as much. I also think that, although one thing that I think people need to do more of is finding mentors, coaches, and other people. I mean, I think it's probably all, it's never been something people have been doing, but I think now in today's world, to get ahead, you need to have people give you the keys to the castle. You need to get the best practices and apply them. And I find the people that are doing that are the people that are being way more successful overall, and they're compounding their success.
Yeah, I think also a generation ago, when people were ended up working in a single organization for a much longer period of time than they typically do today, they were built in either formal or informal structures within organizations where senior people would mentor younger people. And
yes,
right. And nowadays, employment like that doesn't exist so much. So yes. Right. So you need to find different kinds of structures, and it really ends up on the individual who needs the mentor to establish those relationships. It doesn't happen so much from the mentors down to the people who need the help.
That's an excellent point. And I think, you know, it's on you as an individual to create this world and create the skill sets that you need. And in today's world, being more competitive and more niched in many ways, you've got to figure out what to do. And so you've got to start creating your own education, because college and university and the structure that we have in the United States and even elsewhere, they don't value what people consider the soft skill sets, but those soft skill sets are going to make or break your career. And I work with leaders all the time that have a difficulty connecting with other people. They cannot connect with their executive team. They cannot connect with their employees. They have a really hard time of that, and that makes your business much less efficient and much less productive. And when you start doing that, you then start to see some massive changes going. You know, one conversation I'm having with the CEO that he's going to start doing probably actually this week is starting to talk to some of his executive team and employees about what their next job is going to be and what they're going to do with their career, because it's an elephant in the room. Everyone knows that that person's not going to stay in this place forever. But when you start to have an open, honest dialogue about what you're going to do, you're actually going to increase employee retention, and you're going to allow a truthful dialogue of other people coming in, which is going to help both the person who's the manager as well as the employee. And now you're going to create a whole another level of conversation that's going on between people, rather than people having to do it behind people's back or not say it at all or just not be invested in someone else.
Right. It also means that when the employee leaves, the manager won't be surprised, which means they're hopefully will be a better succession plan in place than there might be already.
Yes.
And given the fluidity in today's employment relationships, it leaves the door open for that employee to come back at a later date after the employee has gotten some other experience and maybe gained some other skill sets.
Yeah, definitely. And another thing on top of it, which is you could look at as a selfish thing, is that, you know, if you are a manager in a business or you're an executive in a company today, you know what? Tomorrow you might have your own business. And if you actually take that initiative, what's going to happen is you're going to be creating, you know, tens or hundreds of people that will want to go work for you. So you're going to have a feeder system for your own business of exceptional people, because you're actually growing people to be exceptional managers, leaders, and whatever it is that they're doing, because you're helping them move them forward. So in many ways, you also are doing that as well. If you could think about it like that as well, if you have trouble thinking about it in another way.
And I've seen examples of CEOs of even very small companies that have created the culture where the word gets around that it's a great place to work, and they have a great feeder system. They don't have to spend a lot of time looking for candidates. They actually have to spend a lot of time sifting through candidates.
Yes, that's a high quality problem.
Yep, no, it is. And too many people nowadays say, we can't find good people.
Yep.
They have the other problem.
Which you need to do. And again, I think in a business today, you've got to make people more efficient and more productive and have better teamwork and a lot of different things. But it starts from the top, and you have to take a more untraditional approach. And you've got to deal with a lot of the elephants in the room and a lot of the things that people won't do. And you have to be curious. You have to be innovative. And I think that that's a challenge for people, because people undervalue curiosity in our world. It's one trait I find that people bury and they don't put to the top, but exceptional people in business and in life, they do. And they put curiosity up there right near the top of the things that they're doing on a day-to-day basis.
The leader sets the tone.
They do. And the problem with a lot of leaders is they don't want to risk as much because they're fearful, because the board of directors is on top of them in a lot of companies, and then they have to manage their executive team along the numbers. And it's easy to get caught in a rut and not get out of it, because you're doing something that you perceive is working, and it may even look like it's working, but that doesn't mean that you're really going in the direction that you should be and getting all the things that are really possible. Most people are living really low levels of existence, and they can be much higher if they actually get out there and put themselves out there and lead. And you have to do that. Even in these relationships with these people that I meet, one of the things that I do is if they ask me a question, I'll lead with something vulnerable. It may be something very small, and it depends what the conversation is. And it may be something big if they start talking about it. But I lead, and I tell everyone that if you don't lead in your conversations with people, whether it's in someone you know, or maybe it's even in a relationship you have with someone you're married with, or your partner, or your best friends, or your family, if you don't lead, how do you expect other people to engage with you? Because most people are fearful of being vulnerable and putting themselves out there. So make it easy for them so they can communicate better with you, because your relationship is going to be way better at that point.
Well said. Well said. Jason, what are you working on now that's really exciting?
Well, you know, I'm working more and more with clients right now, with executives, entrepreneurs, and experts, and really helping them take the next step in their career. Because what I'm finding is that almost everyone I come across has been successful getting to point A, but they've never thought about what is at point B and point C. And those same skill sets that got them to point A aren't getting them to point B or C. And so I'm working with them in developing those skill sets, whether they're leadership skill sets, you know, entrepreneurial ones, or whatever they might be, to get out there and do that. And so that's something I'm working on with a lot of my clients right now. And then I'll be moving forward in the fall, working on some products that will be around networking, influence, persuasion, and relationship building, because I think those are things that people could use a lot of help on. And I want to make it in a way that's easy for them to do it in more of a how-to fashion, so they just follow it, it's going to work.
Sounds very exciting. I'm looking forward to hearing how it develops.
Well, thank you.
Jason, who do you know personally who's doing really remarkable work?
You know, one of the people that I met in the fall who I really love what he's doing is, his name is Chris Gilbreau, and he has a great book called The Happiness of Pursuit. And I read about him for a long time, and I was like, I really want to meet him. And so fortunately, he was on a book tour, and he came to Dallas. And I got a chance to meet him and sit down and talk with him for a while, and I just love reading what he's doing. And he talks about the pursuit in life and having a quest that you want to go after. And he went to and visited all 193 countries in the world. And in his book, he talks about different people that have different quests that fulfill them and find them having a passion in their life. And I think it's really important to have something out there really big that you want to do whether it's personally or professionally, and put yourself all in it, because you're going to learn so much through that journey. And if you make that journey measurable by doing something that has an end state in it, it's really important as well. And he talks a lot about some different factors in the book, and he's got a great blog and, you know, some products that he has there. And I find it to be really inspiring to see someone talking about something like that, because you just don't really hear people talking about the quest in life.
Wow. This sounds great. Jason, how can listeners learn more about you?
Well, they can go to my website, and it's beextraordinary.tv. That's beextraordinary.tv, all one word. And you can find, I have guides on networking, on personal branding, and many other things that are just free downloads you can have. And then I have a lot of blogs on how to build relationships and influence, persuasion, and networking that you can get there as well as links to my books and all my other social media sites, which I have a lot of separate content that I publish on each of them on.
Sounds great, Jason. Thank you. My guest today has been business coach, speaker, and author Jason Troy. Jason, thank you for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau.
Well, thank you very much, David, for having me on, and I appreciate having an opportunity to have a conversation with your audience.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.